Good morning. So we continue our series on, which is entitled Battle Cry, a series on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation and the five cries that the Reformers made of Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. And today we find ourselves in faith alone. And so as Martin Luther, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, as Martin Luther sat as a monk in the monastery studying the scriptures, a particular verse was illuminated to him. And that verse was Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. It says this, "For the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And that sparked in him a whole new understanding that maybe to this point the church had become slightly distorted in its teaching and what its understanding was of what was necessary for salvation, what was necessary for the people of God to rise up and stand. And it sparked this in him that he went then and nailed his 95 thesis to the door in Wittenberg. So today we're on faith alone, and we're going to turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5, and we're going to read our way through that passage. "Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace, an apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because of your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers and at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I didn't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you here at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it was written, the righteous shall live by faith." And so as we hear this cry of faith alone today, there's kind of a distinction, if you like, whenever we hear the word faith. There's having faith, and well, that's kind of, that is what we're going to look at today. And then there's the other phrase, the faith, okay? So the faith is the kind of Christian teaching, the Christian church. The faith is what it is that we believe. Faith, having faith, is what it is that we're going to look at today. This understanding of what that particular means. So what is faith? I would imagine, actually, if I went to each of you and asked that question, what is faith? We would have a whole plethora of different understandings or different definitions of what faith is. I asked my girls yesterday, what is faith? Just to hear what a child might say or describe what faith is. Because I think sometimes as we journey through life, our understanding of faith changes. Sometimes because of positive things, and sometimes because of negative things. And so whenever I said to the girls, what is faith? They kind of looked at my quizzical look as much as to say, "Daddy, that's a silly question." And I said, "No, what is faith?" It's because Daddy's going to preach tomorrow on what is faith, and he wants answers to give to the people, right? So here's what they said. They looked at each other, and then the elder one said, "God is everything." That's faith. And the wee one says, aye, she's right. But sometimes we overcomplicate it. Sometimes we overcomplicate it and we go round and round in circles in our head to try to understand what faith is and how we can have more faith, when in actual fact, it's God is everything. Let's look to see what a definition in the scriptures are for faith. And we turn to that kind of passage that preachers bring out whenever we talk about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So why is faith so lacking today? Why do we not see faith in increasing abundance if God is still present with us? I think there's a whole lot of reasons. And we're not going to get into all of them today. We live in a more liberal society. Science claims to disprove the necessity for faith. But maybe actually the church has stopped witnessing in the power of faithful people. Maybe for too long we've been relying on ourselves and not on God. Maybe for too long we've begun to think that it's what we do, how we do it, what it is that we do looks like and how attractive that is, rather than stepping out in faith and declaring that God is everything in every situation, no matter how good or how bad that situation is. So this passage that we read today from Romans chapter 1 is an important and vital passage or understanding of what faith is and what faith looks like for us today. Verse 5 says, through him, that is Jesus, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. See, faith changes the atmosphere. Faith shifts something in your mentality and in your psyche that says, in this moment, this is not the way it always has to be. In this moment, God can turn up. In this moment, no matter what I am feeling, God sits outside of that and is able to speak into it. Just listen to those words in verse 5. Again, through him, that is Jesus, through Jesus and for his name's sake, we received grace from apostleship and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And so faith is not a passive thing. Because often, sometimes, whenever we hear someone telling us to have faith, what it is that we understand by that statement is we need to sit and wait for God to do something. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that by faith, they had the power to call people from a place where they didn't know God to a place where they do know God. And verse 6 says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You also are those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Faith calls something out of you and me, you and I. Faith calls something out of us. Faith calls something out of us that is not us. Does that even make sense? Faith calls something out of us that is not us. Well, it does if you put it in the light of the scriptures in Ecclesiastes, where it says that the seat of eternity is in the human heart. And so faith calls out of us all of those things that God has stored up within us for all of eternity, not just for the here and now, not just for the future, but for all of it. Faith calls that out of us and changes the atmosphere. Calls us to something different. Calls us to be a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. calls us to be adopted into his family, calls us to give him praise and thanksgiving, calls us into a different place. That's scary, but that's exciting. Because it's about the one who calls us, and the one who calls us knows best, because he's everything. If the one who calls us knows best, then what he is calling us to and what he is calling out of us is better than what we have in this moment. And so it is by faith that we trust him. Verse 7 says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. For all those who are loved by God and called to be his saints. What is a saint? Often we have that image in our head of someone who once did a lot of good for God but is now dead, and they have been kind of beatified into this sainthood. The biblical understanding of a saint is the one who has given their life to Jesus Christ and is living that life out through faith. So if you're a believer, the scriptures call you a saint, one who is being sanctified, one who is being called out into something better. There's a sense that you have been chosen by God. Verse 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because of your faith is being reported all over the world. So faith's not passive. Because if it was a passive faith that the scriptures are calling us to, then the rest of the world wouldn't hear about it. It wouldn't be worth reporting. It wouldn't be worth saying or talking about. And so faith is active. And it's active so we can be witnesses, so we can share, not about ourselves, but about what he has done and is doing for us, so that the rest of the world will know. And in our context, so that this community will know, as we play our part in making disciples of all nations. Verse 9 says, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness, how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. So if faith is not passive, if faith is active, if faith is about God who is outside of us, calling something out of us, something better, something greater yet to come, then faith also trusts that God is making the way. If the one who is everything, the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, seek, or even dare to imagine, if he's the one who is calling us out, then he is the one who has already laid the path before us. The one who is making our paths straight. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that's a difficult journey to travel. Sometimes even in the waiting, it's hard. But often we know that it's not necessarily what we're waiting for. It's that God does the best work in our waiting and in our trusting and in our having faith that he has got it. Verse 11 says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So faith is not passive. Faith is active. But what this verse, I think, is implying is that faith is contagious. We can pass it on. When think about it. Whenever you see someone who has faith that God is at work, that God is going to move in that situation, that by faith they are living their lives with the sense that God is calling something out of them into a new place, something shifts within you that says, wow, maybe that is possible. And if that's possible for them, maybe the thing that I struggle with most is actually possible for me too. And so faith is contagious. Faith is passed on, and faith, as we share it with each other, will encourage each other and we'll build each other up. Verse 13 says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Faith always hopes for the best as well. Faith doesn't hope for the negative, or faith doesn't hope for the minuscule amount. Faith hopes for the immeasurably more. Faith believes for the immeasurably more. That's why Paul says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentiles. This faith that is not passive, this faith that is active and contagious, this faith that God is calling us to and into, this element of faith that says that God is calling something out of us that he has already planted within us, this faith inspires us and changes us not to be ashamed of the God that we worship. And an increasing and an abundant measure, that's something that we are going to have to do. We're going to have to step out and step up and not be ashamed of what God's word says and the one that we worship. And you'll be able to do that whenever you exercise faith. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so faith is not passive, faith is active. Faith is not just active, it's contagious. And whenever we live by faith, whenever we walk by faith, whenever we step forward in faith, whenever we trust by faith, we're playing our part in God's big story. And in those small moments of your life and my life that we think are somehow maybe insignificant to the world around us, they're actually the pieces of the jigsaw of God's big story. Because we are God's people. We are God's story on this earth. He's telling and weaving his story through our lives. He's calling us. He's calling out of us what he has given to us in order that we continue to walk by faith. That's why the reformers cried, faith alone. Not because of what we have done, not because of what we are doing, or not because of what we will do, but all because of what he has already done. See, God's, as John talked about last week, whenever we talked about grace alone, God's approach to humankind was by grace. He graciously reached down to us with forgiveness and mercy. He graciously pours out upon us the things that we do not deserve. God's approach to humankind is grace. Humankind's approach to God is faith. We step forward in faith to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But faith is under attack. Faith is in question. But faith is a key. It's what will distinguish you from everyone else. Faith dares to stand where reason only dreams. Faith dares to stand where reason only dreams. So we can try to work it all out. We can try to work everything out. We can try to work out our life's purpose. We can try to work out the situation that we find ourselves in. We can try to work out why all the good things are happening to us in this moment, or why all the bad things seem to happen to us in this moment. We can try to reason all of those, and then we can kind of dream that it will change. But faith dares to step up and stand whenever we don't have it all worked out. And the paradox of the scriptures in the Christian life sometimes are immense. You know, if you want to actually win, you need to surrender. If you want to become strong, you need to recognize your weakness. If you want to receive more, you need to give more away. And again, as we understand faith, it's a bit like that too, because you will not understand it until you've tried it. And that's the same for me, preacher included. I won't understand faith any more than I do in this moment until I try it even more. Until I give it even more. It starts now. It starts in this moment. It starts as we lean in to his presence. Whether that's a small step or whether it's a giant leap of faith will depend on where you find yourself in this moment. But here's the key. Both are exactly the same because it means you have to have faith. Having faith means that no matter where you find yourselves, no matter where I find myself, I trust, I believe, I have faith that God's in control, that he's sovereign, and that he's calling me into a place that is better than where I currently am. Let's pray.